And thank you for joining us on another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am back. I am so happy to be here with you all. You know me. You appreciate me. I wouldn't say love. I would say appreciate. I am one of your hosts, Darkness Tiger, joined today by the legendary Rad Dreams Review. What's going on, Mason?
Legendary? I don't know about that one.
You're in India.
Oh, maybe. No, it's awesome to be here. I apologize for missing the recordings or the sessions because I just came back from vacation.
Yeah, where'd you go?
So my wife and I just went to Arizona for the very first time. We got invited to one of our relatives' weddings. So instead of going for like 2-3 days, we're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's turn it into a week and a half long vacation.
Why not? It's Arizona. And I think Arizona is a beautiful vacation location.
Honestly, it is. I think it's underrated.
Right? Truly. Like,
there was so much stuff to do, and I was able to kind of like unplug from social media, which was nice.
Yep.
I mean, granted, I did play video games in my downtime, like at night before bed. But other than that, like on the flight there and then the flight back, I also played games because I packed my Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that'll just segue into what I've been doing.
Yeah, what have you been playing on the Nintendo Switch?
Actually, our good co-host, iChameleon and I, who unfortunately is not going to be able to join us today, lent me Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild.
No, really? That obviously was, I believe, a 10 out of 10 game.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Did you enjoy
it? I mean, I'm at pretty much like the first boss right now. I haven't really played a lot. I would say probably, I don't know, like honestly, a cool like 6 to 8 hours I've played for so far, maybe.
Okay, that's still some good amount of time.
And I mean, my overall impressions are I'm having a blast. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's different. You know, it's open world, so there's a ton of stuff to do. Just an overload of content to explore in that game. It's overwhelming, but at the same time, it's rewarding as well. But yeah, I'm having a good time with it. It's been a while since I've played a Legend of Zelda game. Like, the last one I played was probably Twilight Princess.
That was the last one I beat.
So I never beat it, but I did play it. The last one that I actually like beat was Wind Waker for the Nintendo GameCube.
I don't know who I was talking to, but we were talking about games that have aged very well. And I think The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker is one of those games that actually did age really well.
Oh, I agree. Because like the art style is so unique and like special that you can pick it up and play whenever.
Exactly that. Like, if you look at like Grand Theft Auto, like Liberty City, that did not age well.
No. Like, especially like GTA 3 is a good example as well. Like, that didn't really age too well.
No, but I will tell you, when you first booted that game up for the very first time, that game felt like that it was real life.
Oh, for real. I mean, I agree with you. Like, I remember playing it for the first time when I was young, and I was just, holy crap!
Yeah, but we'll definitely be getting into a little bit more of the Grand Theft Auto conversation towards later on in the podcast.
But yeah, other than Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, it was mainly just vacationing in Arizona, a lot of hiking, a lot of eating of the food, which was amazing. The arguably best Mexican food I've ever had in my life was down there.
That is Arizona.
So that was exciting to have. There was a lot of unique food dishes down there in terms of like meat choices that you could, you know, consume.
You know what's really interesting?
What's that?
Out of all the states that I've visited or traveled to or vacationed in, guess which one would probably be my least favorite?
I don't know. What?
Florida.
Really? You're not a fan?
I don't love Florida. I think that it's a state entirely built for vehicles. I think everything is super expensive. I don't think anything is that nice. I think it is too hot. But so I recently visited my friend who lives in Orlando, and I got an opportunity to hang out there for a week. And I'm like, you know, I just don't love this place. I do not like Florida. But Arizona, that's fair. I tell everybody, if you want to have a good vacation, go to Arizona. Yes. Later.
I agree. I mean, it was very surreal being there. Checked out the Grand Canyon, which was, you know, a bucket list item of mine, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity if you get to see it. You know, like, it's just awe-inspiring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, pictures don't do it justice. That is one thing I learned with going there. Like, I've seen pictures of the mountains of Arizona and all that shit, but, like, actually seeing it and experiencing it in person is so different.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually just standing in, like, in front of the canyon.
Oh, my God. It's, like, I don't know, larger than life, really.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I can say I have a much more as exciting update as yours, but I don't have an as exciting update.
Have you been playing anything?
The thing is, as I'm currently, as you guys know, I travel back and forth to different countries, and I'm now in Brazil. We'll talk about this later on in the podcast. But because my project that I was working on here has been just so hectic, and it just kind of happened literally a couple days ago, I've been working 12, 13-hour days.
Oh, my.
And by the time I get back to the hotel, I have to walk to the mall, then have to have a sit-down dinner with appetizer, main course, drinks, dessert, the whole thing. So by the time I'm way too tired, considering I have to be up at 6 a.m. to do it all over again. So only real thing I've actually been able to play has just been hopping Forza Horizon 5 to do a race or two.
Then gotcha. I shut it
off. And then after this podcast, since I have actually some free time tonight, I'm actually going to order room service and probably do a little bit more gaming.
And so, nice.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad because I'm definitely been very reluctant towards my PlayStation 5.
Like, why is that?
I feel like I haven't turned it on in about a month and a half.
Hmm.
Because I mentioned when I first got a PlayStation 5 that it was only going to be really for the exclusive games, and my Xbox is going to be for like the main games.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have Game Pass and I'm working through my Game Pass catalog, I downloaded God of War. I've downloaded the CAD game, I believe it's Control. And I got Gran Turismo 7. It's just, I'm just so swamped with other things in life that the PlayStation 5 just does not appeal to me.
Interesting. Do you feel like you've wasted your money and time with it or no?
No, and here's why I'll say no. Because I was able to buy the racing simulator for Gran Turismo 7, I think that was what really made me happy to have it, the PS5. Because Gran Turismo 7, once you have the racing simulator, it's actually entertaining, especially when you're like just dicking around. But if I didn't have that racing simulator, would I still have bought a PS5 if I didn't have Gran Turismo? I think the answer is still yes, because... Mm-hmm. It's still a cool technology.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
But it's not a must-have technology.
No, and that's what I feel like with the PS5, especially coming from myself. Like, I just don't feel the need or want for the PS5 specifically.
Right.
And, like, my opinions towards, like, the Xbox Series S and X are different because, like, I felt like I was getting more utility and usage out of that console rather than a PS5. There's just more things. There's better bang for my buck.
That's it. There's better bang for your buck. And I did mention that I was going to get my PS5 just so I can play all these legendary exclusives. But I'm going to be honest with you, Mason, there has not been an exclusive where I'm like, oh, I have to have it.
Yeah, and that's kind of like how I felt towards the PS5 as well. There's nothing that I'm just like, ooh, I need this game, so I need to buy this console.
Absolutely. But as you and I both know, October and November are amazing months.
Oh my God. Gamers, excuse my vernacular there. But gamers going to be eating good.
Now, do you have an idea of what's coming out over this month and the following month?
I do. I have a list, and I checked it twice.
You better act good, or else you will not get anything from Santa Claus.
Yes. Some of these games. What was that?
That was on your
my
end.
Cat. My cat.
Your cat heard me talking about Control, and it wanted to get in on it. Not Control.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. This cat is insane right now. Apologies.
Yeah.
Anyway, some of these games, mainly just one, though, has been maybe naughty, maybe nice. It's up to the listeners to really decide with that one. And, of course, I'm speaking about the first game that came out, which came out yesterday. Overwatch 2.
Oh boy, oh boy, let's put a pin in this and we'll get back to it. We don't want
Yes, to there's a lot to unpack with that game.
Yeah, but that's a good segment.
The only thing I will say before I move on to the next games is that Overwatch 2 was in development for quite a long time and arrived yesterday for PC and console. So we'll talk about it a little bit later though. So next game coming out. for the billionth time, it almost feels like it's Skyrim at this point. Nier Automata is coming out for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh wow! Finally, I've been waiting all these years for this. Oh my God!
And to me, it's just like, can this Nintendo Switch really handle that game? I'm gonna say not to the level that you want. If you're gonna experience Nier Automata, you need to play it for a different console besides the Nintendo Switch, because honestly, you're missing out.
Yeah, but to be fair, if you have a Nintendo Switch and you're playing Nier Automata for the very first time, you don't know what you're missing out on.
True. That's honestly a good question, really, because the game is a masterpiece. Definitely 10 out of 10. I just don't know how well it'll translate to the Switch and its limited hardware capability.
Yeah, and do you know what the price of the game is going to be when it reaches Nintendo Switch?
I'm going to assume full price, like
$59.99.
Ugh. I don't know off the top of my head. That's just what I'm guessing.
Well, I just looked it up, and they're showing it being $39.99 from GameStop, Amazon, and Walmart.
That's not terrible.
No, it is a five-year-old game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair price point, especially since the game will come with the OG game, as well as every single DLC and costumes, as well as some few Nintendo Switch exclusive outfits.
Did you hear that, Naughty Dog? They need to put a full price.
Yeah, how about that? That's coming out, though. Is The Last of Us Remake.
So, yeah, that's lovely.
Or did that already come out? I don't even know.
That already came out. The Last of Us Remastered. I don't know if it's The Last of Us Remastered or if it's The Last of Us Remake.
Let's see. Let's do a quick search for that. Last of Us Remake.
The Last of Us Part 1 enhanced for the PS5. That came out September 2nd. So, yep, it's already out.
Oh, okay. My bad. But anyway, No Man's Sky is coming out for Nintendo Switch as well.
Now, that is a game where I'm the most curious. How is that going to work on Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, because it's a sandbox game. I'm curious how it will function on the Switch. Because, again, limited hardware capability.
Yeah, and Microsoft, I've been working 12-hour days. Nintendo is not really known for their powerhouse of
consoles. No. I love Nintendo. I love their games. It's just their systems aren't able to handle like the heavier games that like the PS5 and Xbox Series X can handle.
Absolutely. 100% accurate.
The next game coming out on October 11th, which I'm very excited about, is No More Heroes 3.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. It's coming out for PC, Xbox, PlayStation on the 11th. I'm not seeing anything for the Switch. Maybe it will come out on that eventually. Who knows? But the Day One edition includes a new box art illustration, 70-page art book, CD soundtrack, and a Destroyer Bike license plate. So if you want to spend a little extra money for the Day One edition, you get all that shit.
You know what's like really like funny but also sad at the same time?
What's that?
I have never played a No More Heroes game.
Oh, dude, you're missing out. They're fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I'm fully aware. It's something that, as you said, I'm like, oh, I've never played this.
Mm-hmm. There's another game. There's another game coming out on the 12th, but it's not really anything to write home about. It's called Lego Brick Tales. It's on console, PC. It's basically you use bricks build for puzzles while exploring different sort of like stories and dioramas. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like a Lego game. So if you like that and if that's your jam, check it out.
I know that there's two things that are coming out this month, the month of October, that I am super excited for. I cannot wait to get my hands on it. One being Gotham Knights.
Yes, that was going to be mentioned.
And the next being the new Tales from the Borderlands.
Yes, looks very exciting.
I love Tales from the Borderlands. Gotham Knights looks super exciting. So those two are the ones I've kind of like put a little asterisk in my little cart.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, is there any other big games coming out for the month of October?
Let's see, big games you say? Big games. It looks like the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection is coming out on October 19th.
Meh, no more remakes or remasters. We'll get to that.
You already mentioned Gotham Knights. Persona 5 Royale coming out on October 21st, which was previously a PS4 exclusive.
Oh, okay. So
that's coming out to every single console, including PC. So that's kind of exciting. Bit of a cult classic series is coming back. And Star Ocean, The Divine Force, coming out October 27th. So okay. If you are a JRPG fan, check it out.
Okay.
And then arguably one of the bigger games, Bayonetta 3, coming out.
Every time I see that Bayonetta 3, any Bayonetta game is coming out, I always get unjustifiably upset.
Why?
Because Bayonetta 1 was multi-platform. Bayonetta 2 and 3 were not.
Yeah, true. It is a bit of a bummer that 3 won't be like multi-platform, really.
Yeah, I wish that was a game that I didn't have to buy a whole new console for just to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thoroughly loved, I never really got into Devil May Cry, but for some reason Bayonetta really stuck with me, and I played that first game.
Oh, it's fantastic. It is like Devil May Cry.
Yeah. I know there's two games that you did not mention for October, and I'm going to just mention them real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
One of them is going to be for Chris, A Plague's Tale Requiem. He loves the Plague's Tale series. And the other is going to be for the vast majority of our fans. On October 28th, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yes. That'll be exciting.
I think that this is one where we should, I always talk about this, that we should stream this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is one we're definitely going to need to have a full write-up review. This might be a day one purchase. Because
Call of Duty?
Yep. Whether we like Activision or Blizzard or not, it is what it is. We don't care for them as a company. But Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is going to be a massive game.
Oh, it will be. It'll probably, honestly, bigger than Overwatch.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. But we'll get into Overwatch. Real quick, what are we saying for November, or what are we not saying for November?
The two biggest games that I want to touch on that are coming out in November are Sonic Frontiers on November 8th, which is the open world Sonic the Hedgehog game, which I'm very excited about.
Which, real quick, to be honest, does not look that good to me.
Yeah. And that's fine. I think it looks okay, but to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then arguably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, announcements coming out in November is the brand new Pokemon game in Scarlet Violet.
Okay.
And then we also have the man, the myth, the legend, the god himself, God of War.
Now, God of War Ragnarok, in my opinion, is going to be contender for Game of the Year.
Oh, I mean, that's hands down.
Hands down. Hands down. Yes. I think it's going to go to Elden Ring, but I think it's going to be God of War Ragnarok.
I hope that Elden Ring does win because, I mean, that game just
it's
took
swept.
Over.
It swept the nation.
But I do think that God of War will ultimately beat it out just because of, like, the name recognition.
Yeah, name recognition, and the story is probably going to be a little bit better built than Elden Rings.
Mm-hmm.
But
other than that, I'm not seeing too much in terms of exciting things.
Well, one thing you're definitely not saying is on this podcast, we have a series of running jokes. We do them because we think that they're funny. We do them more as insider things for regular listeners. We have a tendency to joke about Jade Empire being the best game of all time. We have a tendency to joke about Fable being the best RPG and the most underrated game of all time.
Yeah.
We joke about things being having a better development cycle than Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
We joke about how Bobby Kotick is the definition of a dick. And one of the big ones that we joke about is a game that is perpetually and always delayed.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot.
I know you forgot. That's why I'm doing this. It was leaked that Skull and Bones is going to be coming out in November. It was confirmed Skull and Bones is coming out in November. They did the development diaries. They did a whole event dedicated towards it. And then quietly, Ubisoft delayed it again.
Jikes.
Zoinks!
I completely forgot about that they delayed it again.
At this point, I don't think anybody cares about Skull and Bones.
No, I mean, I for one don't. I just care about it for the meme.
Yeah, they can cancel it and we wouldn't know anything about it. Which, I hate to do this transition, but I can't help but do this transition. They can cancel it and nobody would care about it, and Google did. Bam!
You know what? It had to be done. You just have to rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
So for those listening, Google Stadia shut down. What do you got to say about this, Devin?
Who could have guessed that this was ever going to happen? Also, real quick before we get into this, I said that when Mason's cat jumped up, I said, oh, he heard that we were talking about Control. The game was not Control. It was Stray. My apologies. Dedication to the accuracy report. But no, this was kind of something, in my perspective, this was something that we kind of seen coming for a pretty long time. Google has a tendency to not really develop its really good ideas. We saw this with Google Glasses. We saw this with Google Fiber. We saw this with Google Hangout. The writing was always on the wall that this was never going to be a very successful project. And earlier this year, when they closed down one of their development studios, it was kind of like, okay, so this is the first nail in the coffin. It's just a matter of time. And Google itself didn't really seem to be hyping up any level of longevity for this program, for the Stadia program. Whereas Sony is doing the PSVR, you know, there's going to be life in that, where Microsoft is working on the Activision Blizzard, where Nintendo is expanding its Nintendo store. Stadia was making none of those moves. Now, what bothers me the most about this story is not the fact that it got canceled. It's the fact that Google did not tell the people who were working on the project that it was getting canceled until they found out on the news.
Yeah, which is kind of fucked up, honestly.
Right.
And another fucked up thing, too, is, like, people who purchase games for the Stadia will get refunded. But the developers who made the games or, like, in development games are just, like, being hung out to dry, pretty much.
Yeah, because some developers were actually in the process of making games, getting ready to release them this month, next month. They were super excited about the project. And the announcement was made that they were going to be shutting down Google Stadia. Google Stadia launched November 19th, 2019. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be officially shutting down January 18th, 2023.
Wow. So in basically like 3 months.
Yep. So Bungie, Ubisoft, everybody's kind of scrambling to get out of there because once it shuts down, there's everything that it was created for, it will not have a purpose.
Yeah. And this is kind of crazy too, because in the last podcast, we were talking about games coming out for the Google Stadia.
Well, they ain't coming out no more. But it's sad because these people are losing their jobs.
Yeah. I mean, it always sucks.
But did you see there was an article, I don't know if it was an article, it was a posting or whatever, about the specific culture in Google, which led to Stadia being canceled?
I think I remember seeing it, but I didn't read it.
So basically what the article goes on, I believe it was an employee who was speaking anonymously who works at Google. Basically, their perspective was, hey, here at Google, people are not promoted for building projects, fixing issues, and really sustaining life. People are promoted for launching stuff and then immediately abandoning it.
That's unfortunate.
So at Google, there is no culture in developing these great ideas and making sure they become actual success. Their basic point and premise is just, hey, let's launch this really cool idea, let's get our attention, and then let's cancel it and let's move on to the next thing. As I mentioned, Google Glasses, Google Fiber, Google Hangouts, Stadia. The only thing we're getting from Google is just new ways to look at their Outlook app, or not Outlook, but their Google email address.
Mm.
Like if I were to Google, I'd hate to say if I were to Google, but if I were to Google Google's canceled projects, how many projects do you think I would get?
I would say 50. I don't know.
There is an entire website dedicated to this. You said 50?
Yeah.
274.
Sheesh!
Literally, and this doesn't even include Google Stadia, so like we're going to put this on the list.
That's nutty.
And some of these I've never even heard about. Google Play Music. I didn't even know Google Play Music was dead.
I didn't know that either.
It died in 2020.
Oh wow. 2 years ago.
Google Photo Prints died the same year. Google Fiber TV was a project for 7 to 8 years. They canceled that.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
This is what Google, and apparently Google was working on YouTube for Nintendo 3DS, and they canceled that too.
Interesting.
If you want to read more about how unreliable is Google is as a company, go to killedbygoogle.com and you will see literally every project that they have ever killed. And it's mind-boggling. But
that's so nuts.
The reason behind every single one of these cancellations is because the culture. Let's launch this great idea. Let's do no development on it. And let's get promoted. And then we do something else. That's bad business.
It is, honestly.
But let's move on because any final thoughts on the story, Mason?
Not really, but before we move on to the next topic, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh, give it to us. Hit us with the breaking news.
This just happened about an hour ago.
Uh-oh.
This was announced. Filming for a Five Nights at Freddy's movie is going to start in 2023. And the animatronics are going to be done by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Oh, God.
Now, so, breaking news.
Now that Winnie the Pooh and Blood and Honey is a thing, the floodgates have opened.
Hey, honestly, though, the fact that Jim Henson's Creature Shop is working on it, that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I don't mind it. I'm that would definitely be a film that I would go out and watch.
Like, the director's this woman named Emma Tommy. She's relatively unknown. She's only directed like 6 things, so they're, you know, taking a chance on a female director. So kudos to them for that.
But you know what? I'm actually here for when we get an opportunity to take a chance on new directors, because we can only see so many Michael Bays. I want to see a movie from a different perspective.
Yeah, like her. I guess most well known movie is called The Wind.
Okay.
That was released in 2018. Other than that, like, nothing really too crazy.
Whatchamacallit. Interesting. We'll keep our eye on it.
Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
I mean, that's exciting. And my apologies. I'm still reading this, like, Killed by Google, like, website. And one that, I don't know why this would make me laugh. It's called YouTube Streams. And it was a service for... Have you heard of YouTube Streams?
Oh, yeah, I have.
I don't remember this. It was killed 12 years ago. It was a thing for 4 years. YouTube Streams allowed you just to watch a YouTube video together while chatting about the video in real time. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, I don't... I vaguely do.
But all right, let's get on to our next story. I mentioned earlier in this podcast, Mason, that I'm currently in Brazil working on a project, right?
Yes.
Now, for the listeners, they might have known that I travel a lot. That's my work, and I've never specified exactly what I do for work. And if you were to notice the things that Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard and the approval countries have a tendency to match up to where I am, It's complete and utter coincidence. I do not work for Microsoft in any capacity. It just turned out that way. Brazil just approved Microsoft and Activision Blizzard's deal. They said, you know what? It's not a monopoly. It's perfectly fine. We have no objections to this deal. Was that something you were expecting, Mason? Was approval? Were you expecting some restrictions?
Not by them, no.
I would say being in Brazil and having so many like meetings about government regulations, again, I did not have anything to do with this deal, but if I did, you're welcome.
Dude, if you did, Devin, that'd be sick.
That would be sick that I'm the person leading the charge for Activision Blizzard's acquisition. I hated the company so much, I convinced Microsoft to buy them, and I'm the one who's leading the charge. But no, working with Brazil and having so many legal things we have to work through, one, I'm surprised this was done so quickly, and two, I'm surprised the lack of objections, because they're very particular here.
Yes,
but if Brazil is going to clear, if Brazil is able to approve this, Brazil and Saudi Arabia both approved it. If they're able to approve it with no objections, I don't see any country going forward is going to have any objections towards this.
I'm curious what the United States is going to do, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are foreign entities already approving it, I do see it going through.
Yeah.
I'm in support of the acquisition, mainly because I just want Activision Blizzard to be under better management.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, under Microsoft's wing, we'll see that.
Yep.
So my hope is that it will get approved. Hopefully the Federal Trade Commission in the United States views it as non-monopolistic. They've approved other things that are honestly like far more, restrictive in terms of like competition. So yeah,
when like cell phone companies buy one another.
That's exactly. So I see this going through.
I see it just going through as well without too many problems. But speaking of problems, let's talk about Overwatch 2.
Yes. Speaking of Activision Blizzard as well, Overwatch 2, as we mentioned earlier, it came out yesterday. And boy, oh boy, there's a lot of stuff to unpack here. The first of which is that people were having a difficult time actually playing the game because the servers were under attack by a DDoS, which, if you are not familiar with what that means, it is basically a distributed denial of service in which in computers, it's a entity using some sort of system to kind of overload a server. Like it's a according to the official definition, it's a malicious attempt to disrupt the quote unquote normal traffic of a targeted server, service, or network by overwhelming it.
But like, how do you overwhelm an Activision Blizzard server?
Usually how it's done is with bots.
Okay.
That's usually how people do it. I'm not as well versed in this as Chris is, because this is kind of his area of expertise. But from the little bit I do know, it's these hackers, you know, develop bots and then just program them to log into these servers to just overwhelm it so that, you know, real people can't play.
But what is the purpose of that? Like, what is the point? Like,
it's disruption. It's literally the purpose.
But what is a person who's doing this? What exactly do they get from it?
Basically, a sense of them saying to Activision Blizzard, like "F you" or something. But in a way, they're screwing over the players, because as much as I dislike Activision Blizzard right now, you know, there are people that like their game, still play their game. So if you're robbing them of the ability to play the game, then shame on you.
Right, absolutely. And I think that it's very scummy and scammy, even outside of our thoughts of Activision Blizzard.
But exactly.
I will say that when these servers are getting attacked, basically people were in loading screens.
Yes, for a long, long time.
Now, obviously Overwatch 2 is a free-to-play game.
Yes, it shifted from a, you know, standard model of, you know, you buy the physical copy, et cetera, to the free-to-play game. But there is a caveat with Overwatch 2, and this is where some of the flack is as well. So here's some complicated action with the game. If you own the first game, it updates to Overwatch 2, and you do not have to unlock all the heroes. They are already unlocked for you. Now, that's only if you own the first game. However, if you get the second game without the first, you have to unlock every single character besides the new ones, which I think equates to 3 or 4.
Okay.
And in order to unlock all the characters, you need to play an equivalent of 100 matches, which isn't terrible.
No.
Which you know, that breaks down to roughly, you know, 3 matches per character, which isn't bad.
Right.
And the fact that the game is a 5v5 and not a 6v6, you know, the games are, I assume, quick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do want to, you know, play free to play and not, you know, buy the first game to get all the characters, you know, it's relatively easy, quote unquote, to unlock all the characters.
Okay.
One thing I am concerned with is the shift to the free to play model. I'm glad that the loot boxes are gone. Like, thank you for doing something right. I'm very thankful for that. What about you? Like, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think loot boxes. I used to say loot boxes are trash all the way around, but some people really do appreciate a loot box. I, for one, hate it because I don't know what I'm getting. But to be fair, when I play Forza Horizon, like I get like a casino, like a slot machine like thing, and it's still dumb. But some people do appreciate the loot boxes. But I don't think
it's
in a free to play game.
My concern with this free-to-play model, though, is typically in my experience with free-to-play games, I've played quite a few, is the pay aspect, like the monetary in-game currency aspect that you have to purchase for like the battle passes and et cetera, like skins, cosmetics, whatever, is usually predatory.
Yeah.
And with Activision Blizzard, I don't have confidence with that, especially with how they handled Diablo.
Right.
But again, I haven't played the game, so this is just me saying things from the outside looking in.
Do you have any intentions of playing Overwatch 2?
What's that?
Do you have any intentions of playing Overwatch 2?
I don't, no.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest into shooter guy, and this doesn't seem to be the one.
No, it's just, I mean, I played the first one. It was all right, but, you know, I got bored of it. So, I don't know, Overwatch 2 doesn't really tickle my fancy.
Well, maybe if they remaster it, it will.
But the last thing I will say before moving on to our next topic of remaster is for Overwatch 2, it feels less like a sequel from the outside looking in, and it feels more like a big update.
Well, technically, if you've already purchased Overwatch 1, it was a big update.
Yeah, so to me, I don't think it should have been marketed as a sequel. I feel like it should have been marketed as a just larger update and just called it Overwatch.
Well, I have thoughts on that, and here's why. Not every sequel has to be this like grandiose redevelopment of this brand new build it from the ground up. Sometimes just little tweaks here, little tweaks there, major tweak here, major tweak there is good enough. Ford just unveiled their new next generation Mustang. You know this. I know this.
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost exactly like the one before it.
Yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to mention, too, is, like, graphically, it's not an improvement.
Nope, sure isn't. Looks just exactly the same.
Another thing that is kind of restrictive as well with the game is that they require gamers to have a phone for a two-step authentication, and not everybody has a cell phone.
That is true, but if you're hopping into Overwatch, I think that you probably have a phone. But there are a lot of younger people, like teenagers, who probably don't have phones yet.
Mm-hmm. Which is ironic, because Blizzard was the company that said, "Do you not have phones?"
Fuck Blizzard. All right.
Moving on.
Let's move on to something just as gross. I mentioned the word remaster because one thing that we're seeing a lot of, and we mentioned this earlier when we were talking about The Last of Us, is we're seeing a lot of remasters, we're seeing a lot of just re-releasing Nier Automata, and normally, it feels like a couple of years ago this wasn't really as major of a thing. Like, I'm a firm believer that if you're going to remaster a game, remaster a game that's been out of, like, has been gone for a long time.
Oh, yeah, like, so, like with The Last of Us and now with the Horizon Zero Dawn, it's just like these games just came out.
And that's the problem we're getting at too. It was just announced that Horizon Zero Dawn is getting a remaster. And the question is why?
Yeah, that's I'm scratching my head on this one.
That would be as if Rockstar right now said, you know what? We're going to remaster Grand Theft Auto 5.
Dude. I wouldn't be surprised.
But are you getting tired of this? Are you getting tired of seeing the remasters becoming a thing? Especially when the biggest offender, I hate to say it, is Sony.
Yeah, they are, as you said, the biggest offender of this. The one thing I don't get tired of is, like you said earlier, when you remaster a game that released a long time ago. Like, for instance, Suikoden. That's going to be coming out. Suikoden 1 and 2. That came out for the PlayStation 1 in 1997.
Right.
And it's just now getting a remaster. I find that fair.
See, now that is a game that gets a remaster. A game that a game that does not need a remaster is Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima, Horizon Zero Dawn, or whatever. I guarantee God of War Ragnarok is about to get a remaster at some point.
Yeah, and here's another example. Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core is coming out for next-gen console, and that came out years and years ago for the PSP.
Yep, there you go. Now, those are games that deserve a remaster.
And not The Last of Us and Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, those games, like, we're harping on, like, they came out very recently.
Yes, Gran Turismo 4, one of the best Gran Turismos. That would deserve a remaster on a PlayStation 5.
Agreed.
The original 2005 Need for Speed Most Wanted. That deserves an upgraded remaster for current generation consoles. Literally, there are so many different things you can pinpoint towards that can deserve a remaster. You can revive a dead series, Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. And then you can...
Dude, I miss that game.
I miss it too. The best soundtrack in video games, hands down. But it's not really necessary.
No.
But hopefully this trend dies soon. I'm personally tired of it, and I hope nobody buys Horizon Zero Dawn. Just like I hope nobody bought The Last of Us, but they did. So it is what it is.
Yep, it did. It actually did fairly well.
Did fairly well because some people just love nostalgia. Now, speaking of nostalgia, and we mentioned Rockstar. Grand Theft Auto 5 has been a thing for so long that people are getting tired of hearing about it. Only thing people want is news about Grand Theft Auto 6, but Rockstar refuses, on principle, to provide us any information about Grand Theft Auto 6. They're like, we're going to keep our mouths shut. We're not going to tell you anything. It is just going to be quiet. It'll be done when it's done. Don't worry about it. Well, a hacker felt that it was his public duty to tell Rockstar to go fuck themselves. And boy, did this hacker release so much information.
So, what all did he release?
The hacker released the whole story. You're basically playing as a Bonnie and Clyde character. Basically, unveiled a bunch of screenshots and videos. Basically, unveiled the location is going to be in Miami, set in current day. Basically, unveiled that it's going to be a lot more serious looking than all the other Grand Theft Autos have been.
Okay.
Basically, released so much information at this current build time that it was almost embarrassing the amount of information that he got.
I wonder how he was able to get everything it seems easily.
I mean, if you give me a quick second, I probably could be able to tell you.
Because if you want to look that up, I can kind of follow up with some kind of reactions to this leak.
Yeah, give me some reactions.
From what I've seen, at least by the game developing community is the... Like, the players were just like, oh my god, this looks awful, blah, 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 blah. But then developers are just like, listen, guys, this isn't a complete game yet. Like, it's still in development, it's in progress. And so a lot of developers have been releasing screenshots and videos of games that they have worked on. It's still in their, in development stages and showing them, like, hey, this is how this shit looks.
Yep.
When it's not complete. Like, even a masterpiece of a game, Legend of Zelda, once again, Breath of the Wild, they released a in-development screenshot and video showing, like, hey, this game wasn't perfect at a time. Right. Like, give them a break.
And The Guardian actually has a good article about this. It's a large amount of clearly work-in-progress gameplay from all stages of development. Some of the footage is simple short clips of animation tests. One such video shows a figure leaning out of the window of a car armed with a rifle, aiming in a smooth circle. In others, characters alternately walk and run to test animation progress. Other videos are more detailed. In one, a female player character holds up a diner, pointing a pistol at the cashier who places stacks of dollars on the counter before the player picks up the money and moves on. This scene is voice acted and fluidly animated, but still unpolished, very close and scenery, having none of the detail expected from a finished game. Even given the unfinished nature of the clips, with debug commands and technical information overlaid, The leaked footage appears to confirm many reported details about the game, including the presence of a female playable character in the single-player campaign for the first time, and the setting of modern-day Vice City, the Grand Theft Auto World's equivalent of Miami, which was featured in 2002's Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Now, here's how the hacker was able to get all of this.
Okay.
The hacker says the footage was obtained by breaking into Rockstar's Slack channel, the communication platform used for internal collaboration. The 90 videos were posted there, he says, and were easily downloaded.
That's embarrassing.
Now, before you say that, well, this is just like a, this, the hacker got lucky. This is not hacker, did not get lucky. The hacker, Teapot Uber Hacker, also claimed responsibility for a recent Uber data breach, and the technique used appeared similar. In both cases, the messaging app Slack was a major point of entry, where it's likely that information shared between staff members was also used to gain further access to sensitive data. But the Rockstar hack appears to be less serious than this Uber hack, which involved the attacker gaining administration of access to the entire network, even being able to control the initial response to the hack itself through total control of the Slack account.
Wow.
In Rockstar's case, however, the hacker seems to want to take down the company. As well as the videos, which have already been posted on YouTube as proof of the attack, he claims to have source code for GTA 5 and GTA 6 development builds and appears to be blackmailing the developer for it. So this guy knew what he was doing and he got what he wanted.
Oh, yeah. Do you think there's going to be like legal repercussions for him?
Absolutely. 100%. Because they know who he is. Rumor has they actually they have a guy's name and this individual is going to get caught.
Oh, yeah.
But that leak definitely kind of made me a little bit more excited for GTA 6, even though it's
yeah, honestly, I'm very excited for Vice City to come back.
Yeah, same. I want to go back to the Miami and video game, not in real life.
Yeah, Vice City was probably like my favorite, and like my second favorite was San Andreas.
San Andreas is my number one. San Andreas is my number one. I'm going to actually say that number three was my number two, and Vice was number three for me. But it's only because I like the amount of things you can do in San Andreas, like bodybuilding, playing, literally doing so much. And three bumps up so highly because it was revolutionary. But I love the story. I love the environment of Vice City, hands down.
Same. Another game that has a very stellar soundtrack.
Oh, absolutely. One thing I will give Grand Theft Auto, they got a pretty good soundtrack.
Oh, hell yeah, they do. Like, that's no lie. Like, Grand Theft Auto Vice City was kind of how I fell in love with a lot of like 80s music and like 70s music.
Oh, absolutely. Now, any final thoughts on the Grand Theft Auto 6 leak?
Not so much. I mean, we pretty much covered everything with that.
All right. Well, as you all know, when we get to the end of our podcast, we like to do what's called a review segment.
In this
segment, we kind of discuss either a video game we've played, a TV series we've been watching, or a movie that we've seen, and we give a short, detailed review for you. Mason, you have anything for our review segment this week?
I do.
All right, let's give it a listen.
During vacation, the last day, the wife and I decided to watch, in honor of Spookytober, to watch the entire trilogy of the Fear Street movies on Netflix.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So it was Fear Street 1994, Fear Street 1974, I want to say, and then the last one was Fear Street 1666.
Okay.
Let's see if that was the right year. I want to say 74 was the right. Oh, 78. God damn it.
Womp, you were close.
Womp, womp, womp. Just watched it and I was off by 4 years.
No, it happened.
Anyway. We watched all those movies that, you know, they're very popular. They're based on the very popular books by R.L. Stein, if you didn't know that. And yeah, honestly, it was a solid three movies. I heavily enjoyed them. Good horror, very good intrigue. So if you're looking for something kind of spooky to watch, I highly recommend checking them out. The effect work is very good. The acting, very solid. I would say, in terms of things that I disliked, it's kind of hard to say. Honestly, there wasn't a lot that I disliked. I would say out of all of them, like the first one was kind of the weaker one, and then number two and number three were stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought they spent more time with the characters and their development, and the intrigue was a lot better, and like the horror was done well. So I would say in terms of a negative, it didn't really offer a lot of new things to the horror genre. But still, it offered enough to keep you interested, invested, and just keep on watching. So overall, I would give it a uninformed gamer score of a 8.5 out of 10 if I just do all three at the same time.
All right. That's pretty good praise.
Yeah, I would recommend watching good horror movies.
Well, this is spooky month. I know that when I get back home, I'm going to sit down and watch Hocus Pocus 2.
Nice.
But I refuse to watch because I'm in my own bed. Unfortunately, I don't have anything official in the review segment. I did see two newer movies. I did see the most recent Uncharted film.
How was that?
I can give you a quick review. This isn't a formal one or anything. I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I don't know if I love Tom Holland in anything else.
Okay.
I love Mark Wahlberg when he is the main character. I don't love Mark Wahlberg when he's a side character.
I feel like he's got too much star power to be a side character.
And that was the problem. I was like, Mark Wahlberg should have just been the main guy. But I thought it didn't take itself seriously. I thought it was funny. I thought it had a pretty good quick pace behind it. And the visuals and action scenes were pretty good. So I would say, I was going to give it an uninformed gamer score. I'm going to give it 7 uninformed gamers out of 10.
That's still honestly not bad.
It's not bad. Like, would I watch it again? Probably not, but I thought it was fine. And the next movie that I watched on the plane ride into Brazil was Morbius.
Oh, were you Morbin?
Here's the thing. Morbius is a decent vampire movie, but an awful awful superhero movie.
Okay, I dig that.
I'm sitting there, and I kind of forgot this was a part of the Marvel Universe. I'm like, oh, wait, you are a part of, like, you're going to be Spider-Man. You and Spider-Man are eventually going to be against each other. All right. And I'm like, okay, as a vampire movie, this is decent. This is fine. I think Jared Leto is very weird to look at. And I think Matt Smith suffers the same problem. Overall, I didn't love it. If it was just a vampire movie, I would give it a 7 uninformed gamers out of 10.
But it's really actually.
If it was a vampire movie, it wasn't. Because it's a Marvel movie, I'm giving it a 5 seems so low because 50% that's failure. I'm gonna give it a 6.
Okay.
And if it was an average vampire movie and a poor Marvel movie.
I respect that. I respect that. Would you recommend that I watch it or no?
No, I think it's one you can skip.
Okay.
But I also think that you could skip Uncharted as well.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on watching Uncharted anyways.
Yeah. But any final thoughts, Mason, before we come to our conclusion?
One thing I will say is make sure, I believe it's October 11th and 10th. Is keep a lookout on the new season of Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War arc, and another anime to keep an eye out is Chainsaw Man. Make sure you check those out when they drop.
All right, and if you're going to be listening to this podcast on October 6th, today is going to be the official unveil of the next Need for Speed.
Woo!
All right, Mason, go. We're closing out.
Yeah, sounds good, boss. All right. As always, I have been Rad Dreams with Rad Dreams Review, also known as Mason. Feel free to check me out on my YouTube, Rad Dreams Review, as well as my Twitch and Twitter, Rad_Dreams.
And if you like what we do here, be sure to follow us at Uninformed Gamers, our Twitter page. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share our podcast with all of your friends, your family, even your exes, maybe even your parole officer. We'll accept that. You guys know me as Devin, also known as Darkness Tiger, or on the PlayStation 5, Darkness Tiger 2. You can find me at the top of the leaderboards, usually in first place, sometimes second, never last place. We're just a small, independent little podcast studio here. We try to do the best that we can, but we don't know how we're doing unless you provide us some level of feedback. We like to take criticism that is deserved, not criticism that you think is undeserved. But we won't know until you like and subscribe. Thanks so much for joining us for this next episode. Have a good day. Bye.
Later.